Hey, this is Chris from the Ticket Stub. You're listening to Lone Star Community Radio on 104.5 KCZW LP Conroe and 106.1 KZCC LP Conroe and worldwide on IRLoneStar.com.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rick Schisler, your host. I'm a Silver Fox advisor and the founder of One Best Consult, and I want to welcome you to this week's edition of the Weekly Business Hour. You know, the Weekly Business Hour has become where Montgomery County and businesses, in fact, throughout the world. And I want to thank those people who are listening outside of Montgomery County. We appreciate you tuning into the show, whether you're listening live on the internet or listening to one of our podcasts. We all come together to talk about business. That's what this show is all about, to talk about business news, ideas, hopefully that you can use to improve your business. And we encourage you to be part of that conversation. And all of this goes towards helping you make a real difference in your business. So again, thank you for joining us. Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, onebestconsult.com. That's the number onebestconsult.com. That's where you can find common sense business advice for you and your small business. And I encourage you to go to the website and join our community there. There's a lot of peers. You'll find small business people. We're exchanging ideas in real time. And need to sign up, you get a copy of our weekly blog and also our video tips that go out on a regular basis. So I encourage you, visit bestconsult.com and see how we work with our clients remotely on a one-on-one basis. If you need that kind of assistance, it's available as well. And I want to remind you, the show is being broadcast on Facebook Live. Just go to Facebook, The Weekly Business Hour, and you can join us. Just hit the button and join us live, and you'll see us on video as well as hear us on audio. And one final reminder before we get started. If during the show you have a question, you have a thought, or even after the show, drop me an email. That's at onebestconsult@gmail.com. I want to hear from you. I love to hear from you. I love your comments, your questions. And I will get back to you, particularly if you have a question about your business. I take those kind of questions as well. So at this point, it gets real, real easy. I want you to sit back, grab your pad and pencil, and get ready to take notes as we talk about everything business right here on the Weekly Business Hour. Well, this morning, I'm glad to say we have a wonderful guest joining us. In fact, she's been here before, but she's decided to join us in our Soup to Nuts conversation, which is a three-part series. We have them each month. Have a different guest and talk about a different topic. Stacey Harris is joining us today in our Soup to Nuts conversation. This one's entitled Everything Networking. Stacey is the owner of Network in Action in the Woodlands. And Stacey, you're everything networking, in my opinion. Well, so welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, we couldn't have a better expert. You're definitely an expert in networking. You've got a long history, proven track record in networking for your own account, as well as teaching, training, and helping others network. Mm-hmm. Network in Action. Tell us about it. What's it all about?
Oh, Network in Action is we are a professional networking group organization founded about 4.5, almost 5 years ago now. I've been with Network in Action for 3 years. And, you know, basically what we do is we put together groups of business owners and decision makers that we feel like we'll be able to have great synergy and be able to help each other in relationship building, become good referral partners, and just increase business for one another. It's all based on the idea of that we want to do business with people that we like, know, and trust. And so we put them in a very safe environment. All of our members have been screened and interviewed quite thoroughly. Everybody has to pass a criminal background check, a personality profile, and meet certain membership requirements. And we put them together in these groups so that they can get to know each other and just start brainstorming and working together. And I have 5 franchises now. All of my groups are in the Woodlands area. And it's just been a huge blessing to my life. And it's just a thrill for me to be able to be, I tell everybody I'm a matchmaker for business owners, to put these people together and help them grow their businesses.
Well, you're doing a wonderful job because, as you know, I know some of the folks that are members of your group, and I hear nothing but positive comments. I hear a lot about success. So congratulations.
You've got
a great business from where I sit.
I have great people. Thank you.
Well, let's jump into the soup to nuts conversation, starting, of course, with the soup, which is networking. Let's start the very basics. What's the definition of networking?
You know, if you look up the definition of networking, it is the cultivation of relationships for the purpose of building business and building relationships. And so I think the most important part of that definition is the cultivation part. Because a lot of times people go into networking, they go to a networking event, a chamber of commerce event, or, you know, something like that, and they immediately expect a sale, expect something to happen. And that's not really what networking is about. Sometimes that does happen, but really it's that cultivation part is what I want to hone in on. And if you think about it, you know, that term cultivation, we usually link that to farming. And we all know that when you plant a seed the next night, you don't have a big apple tree, right? You know, it takes time. I mean, it has to have the right environment, water, food, sunlight, all of those kinds of things. And it's the same thing with networking. And so when I do talk to people about this topic, I always want to emphasize the don't expect things to happen overnight. And I tell people all the time, you know, I networking is not the fastest way to make a sale or even necessarily build your business, but I do think it is the most solid, long-standing way to build your business, because if you have people that you've developed a relationship with, they are going to continue to come back to you over time, and it is going to help you build a much more solid foundation for your business and networking. So, again, just kind of concentrating on that cultivation part of things.
Yeah, I love your analogy to cultivation. And one mm-hmm. thing about the apple tree example you gave is it takes all those things that are provided by nature. You mentioned the water, yes. the sun, but it also takes somebody tending the tree if you want yes. to get the most fruit.
It has to be and, nurtured.
You know, I can do business, but if I yeah. really want to do some business, then networking, like that apple tree, if I'll tend it and mm-hmm. nurture it and take steps, which we're going to get yes. into, yeah. it makes a huge difference, doesn't it?
It does. It does. And you think about, you start with a single seed, but when that apple tree flourishes, you get a whole crop of apples. And with networking, it is exactly the same way. Yeah. It really is.
I love the example. Mm-hmm. It's wonderful. Yeah. Let's talk about some of the characteristics of a good networker. Because, again, I find many people, and you and I were talking before we went on air, so many people still, and you know this better than I do, they go out and say, well, I'm going to network. And you gave your example. Go to a right. chamber event or some event and just show up. Mm-hmm. Maybe have some business cards, maybe some literature.
Right.
But then where is it going to, you know, well, it didn't happen.
Right.
Right?
And then they say networking doesn't work.
Yeah, it yeah. doesn't work. But there's some characteristics. Let's talk about those.
All right. Yes, you know, I've kind of laid out five major characteristics of a good networker, and there are so many moving parts to networking. But these are the ones that I think are the most important and that I really encourage people to become experts as much as they can in these. So the first thing is that to be a good networker, you have to have a positive attitude. And that's two-pronged. You have to have a positive attitude about networking itself, going into it with the expectation of, I'm here to make new friends and to build my business and help other people build their business, but go into it with a positive attitude. If you walk into a networking event with that attitude of networking doesn't work, guess what? It's not going to work. You know, it's about what's between our ears and what our expectations are. So just having a positive attitude when you're walking into a networking situation. And I really do encourage people to go in with that attitude of, how many friends can I make at this event? You know, if you're going to a chamber event or something like that, just setting a goal. I'm going to have two great conversations with two people that right now are total strangers. And by the time I walk away, I'm going to know a little bit more about them and they're going to know a little bit more about me. If you can go into it with a positive attitude, it's going to make a huge difference when you walk in, almost make a game out of it, you know, if you need to. And the other thing you have to have a positive attitude is about yourself. Being confident in who you are and the product or the service that you have to offer and being positive in your delivery of your 60-second introduction or, you know, when you're standing there talking to somebody, that you're really being positive about what it is that you have to offer. I always hate to hear people say, you know, when you ask them, what do you do? And it's, oh, it's boring. I'm in insurance. You know, I'm a number cruncher. I'm a whatever. And that isn't what people want to hear. They want to hear that you're passionate about what you do. I want my CPA to love numbers and to be excited and to know that the service that they're offering is really benefiting me. So that's the number one thing, is going in with a positive attitude. Let's stop for just a second.
Yeah. Let's talk about that positive attitude sure. because, again, I think that's, I mean, if you don't have a positive attitude, don't go in. That's my theory
yes,
about it.
Yes,
right?
I agree.
And one of the ways I found a little trick, and I'll mention it to you, is because networking is a job. I mean, it's part of what mm-hmm. we do.
It is.
But, and some of it takes place at the end of the day. We're tired. We've been working. Mm-hmm. You know, those evening events can be very beneficial. And you yeah. say, well, now I've got to. But I approach it as I'm going to talk to customers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm hoping that people have a positive attitude when they talk to customers.
Right, exactly.
So I'm going to talk to, but in this case, prospective, mm-hmm. potential, referral, customers, whatever.
Right.
If I don't have that attitude, don't go in.
That's right.
Don't bother.
That's right. Right? Yes. Yeah. I always say, you know, ask yourself if, you know, am I the kind of person that when I walk into a room, are people attracted to me and they want to stay and hang out and talk to me? Or are you the kind of person that repels people? They can't get away from you fast enough. And when you go in with that negative attitude, people can't get away from you fast enough. You know, truly, you know, it just sucks the energy right out of the room
right.
when you're like that. So, yeah, end of the day, you're too tired to.
It's important.
When you're meeting with, be sure that you are getting good information about ways that you can help them and that ways you might possibly be able to work with them. And the only way that you're going to be able to do that is if you're really listening to what they say and you're asking good questions in response to that and really pulling that information out of them. If you're not listening, it's very easy to walk into these situations, especially if you are not completely comfortable networking and you're really kind of having to make yourself be there. And you're nervous about it. You're talking to somebody you don't know. And so it's very easy for us to just get lost in our own heads and be thinking about what we're going to say next instead of really listening to what the person in front of you is saying. And so if you can really go in with that attitude of, I'm going to just make this all about the people that I am talking to. I'm going to listen to what they're saying. I'm going to ask good questions. Then that makes a huge difference. And it's amazing what people will tell you. If you ask good questions and if you listen to those answers, it really is. They will tell you all kinds of things about their personal life, about their professional life, about what they're needing. And all of those things are opportunities for you to fill a need. And whenever we can fill a need for somebody, that is always going to be remembered and most likely reciprocated in some way.
Yeah, I think that need is so important because mm-hmm. if you take professional sales training, they'll talk about find that need.
Yes.
And if you can find it, you know, I always add a little dose of curiosity, because mm-hmm. you're dead on. I'm speaking from a lot of experience myself.
Uh-huh.
Of you kind of zone out because
yes.
you don't want to be there for whatever reason, uh-huh. or you're nervous, or you don't know anybody.
Right.
It happens to all of us. Mm-hmm. So don't think
Get
this
distracted.
Is just the beautiful people that are making it happen.
That's
it's
right.
everybody.
Yep.
But I try to play a mind game that I'm curious about that person and what
yes.
they're doing.
Yes.
Try to keep my head into the listening part
yes.
of it.
I always say if you can kind of think about like when you were dating your spouse or significant other and all the questions, you were so wrapped up in what they had to say and you had all these questions for them and that kind of thing. If you can give, it's a courting relationship when you were trying to win over a new client, develop a new referral partnership. It is a courtship and you're wanting to put your best foot forward just like when you're dating someone. And so if you can kind of put that effort into it, then it really does make a big difference.
Yeah, I think that's mm-hmm. great. What's yeah. another characteristic we need
Next
to have?
Next characteristic is the professional appearance. And, you know, this one, some people will love to argue with me about this and say, you know, people just need to accept me for who I am. I'm a roofer. I'm going to wear shorts and a T-shirt and, you know, this kind of thing. But it just all goes back to our personal appearance, our professional appearance. It has to reflect who we are and what we do. So, yes, you may be a roofer, but if you're the owner of a successful roofing company, you need to look like a successful owner. You don't need to look like you just climbed off of the roof, even though you might have. You still need to have that professional appearance, whatever it is that you do. An attorney, you know, things are very relaxed these days, but I don't know about you, but bankers and attorneys, I want them dressed up when I see them because I feel like I want them to be taking my money seriously, my case seriously, my contract seriously. And if you don't look like you do what you say you do, there is immediately a sense of mistrust because there's this disconnect between, well, you say you do this, but you look like you do this instead. And so it just really is important when you are networking that you go in professionally dressed, that you're well put together, that you put some thought into it and all of those kinds of things. It makes you more approachable. people like to people like to talk to people who look like they are put together. It puts them at ease. So put some effort into it. Maybe you did just climb off of the roof or whatever, climb out of an attic, whatever it is that you do, but keep nice clothes in the car, in the truck, whatever. Have something to change into before you walk into the networking event. It truly does make a difference.
Yeah, you don't have to have a tuxedo on or a formal.
No, not at all.
But you need to dress accordingly. And I love what you're saying.
Yes.
According to the business that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
And convey that this is what I do. Not only the name badge or whatever, mm-hmm. but this is what I do.
Yes, you got to look like you do what you say you do.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It makes a lot of sense.
Yes.
Well, believe it or not, we're to the end of our first segment.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about a couple more characteristics, which I think these are really key to set the foundation to be a good networker. So please stay with us and we'll be right back with you.
It's all about business on the Weekly Business Hour every Monday at 11 a.m. on Lone Star Community Radio.
Hispanic Chamber connections with Dr. Carlos Sanchez, president of the Woodlands Conroe Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, featuring event announcements, member highlights, and more. Tuesdays at 1 p.m., broadcasting from the heart of Conroe, Texas, on irlonestar.com and Conroe's FM 104.5, 106.1.
For business ideas and news you can use, join us on the Weekly Business Hour every Monday at 11 a.m. on Lone Star Community Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the Weekly Business Hour, and we're having, I think, a wonderful soup to nuts conversation with Stacy Harris about everything networking. Well, Stacy, when we went to break, we were talking about some characteristics that you've identified that are really important to be a good networker, and it's we've talked, three of them so far.
Right.
Very, very important things. Positive attitude, good listener, and, of course, that all-important personal appearance, which I'm smiling because I run into some interesting appearances these days. But anyway, on either side.
Just let's go to talk, the airport.
Yeah, get on the plane and go for an adventure. Yeah, but that aside, you're exactly right about that. What are some other characteristics that are important if someone really wants to be a good networker?
Well, one of the most important things that I think, and this kind of goes back to being the good listener, but it is that you pay attention to the details of the conversation that you have with whoever it is that you've engaged in conversation with. It's so important to remember the little things that people will reveal to you about themselves, such as, you know, they're about to go on vacation, or their mom is going to have surgery, or they have a big meeting, a big presentation that's coming up. All of those things, those are the little things that really make up who they are and their life that they are living. And so when you re-engage with these people, because the whole point of networking, you know, you go to a networking event to make contacts, and then you need to follow up with these contacts. And if you will have a good conversation with somebody, really listen to what they're saying, pay attention to these little things that they mention. When you do the follow-up with them, whether it's a phone call, a text message, an email, whatever, ask about those personal things that they mention in the conversation to you, because then that tells that person that you really do remember them. You know, we've all been to networking events before and somebody collected our business card, and then we get this, which you can tell is a blanket email that went out to 200 people, and it's a sales pitch, and that's it. It doesn't have anything to do with the conversation that you had. So if you can follow up with that email and say, hey, you know, when we met at the Chamber of Commerce event 2 weeks ago, you were getting ready to go on vacation to Hawaii. I hope you had a great time. How was the weather? You know, you mentioned you had a new grandbaby on the way. Has the grandbaby come yet? Send me a picture. Just different things like that. If you'll really show people that you were listening to what they had to say, but also that you remember who they are, that goes a long way when you can mention that personal stuff to them, and it just shows that you care about them as a person, that they're not just a prospect.
You know, it's amazing you bring this up, and I try to do that, right? Because mm-hmm. I've been around networking, whatever, for a long, long time, so I learn from people like you, and it's amazing when you come back to somebody on a face-to-face basis,
yes,
and you ask them those little questions, that connection.
Uh-huh.
They light up a lot of
they
times.
They do.
Because, and you know what that tells me? Not many people are doing
that. That's exactly right.
So that's opportunity.
That makes you stand out right there.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, I see that even with people that are up in the business world, mm-hmm. and you say something and you can see that little light Just yep. come on.
Yeah.
Many times. Not all the time, but many times.
Yes.
And that spells opportunity to me.
Right. It does. It does. I think so often we separate the professional from the personal. And when you're in small business, you know, most of us, we are the face of our business. So the personal stuff that's going on is just, we carry that with us into the professional no matter what, you know. And if somebody's had surgery, somebody has been sick, you're building a house, you're about to go on vacation, those things are, they're a part of who you are and they're a part of the business. And if you can really connect with people on that level, it really is special. And there are not many people that are out there doing it.
Yeah, and the thing is, too, people need to understand in networking and people like yourself, people are really good at networking, not only successful in their business, but it's a long-term situation.
Yes.
Back to your apple tree.
Mm-hmm.
Apple tree doesn't That's grow right. over a short period of time. Mm-hmm. It takes a period of years to bear all the fruit you're talking
right.
about, to get to that maximum growing period. So you have to go into this with the long view as well
exactly.
as the short view.
Yes.
You know, one thing I want to mention, I learned from another really good networker years mm-hmm. ago that for us who have that conversation and we turn away and say, wait a minute, what was the, you know, I forget quickly, right?
What was their name? What did we
Well, I get yeah. the name, but if they give you a card, and this is what I was taught, take the back of that card or somewhere on the card, a lot of times they're printed on both sides,
yes.
and make the note.
Right on there.
You know, turn away from the conversation, you know, they walk away, you walk away, and just kind of turn away for a second and jot down,
yes.
you know, and I almost have like a little shorthand
uh-huh.
that I put because, again, I'll get home or get back to the office the next day, and I'll say, okay, I've got this card. I met
right.
the person. I see the face.
Right.
But where's that detail? I
yes.
forgot.
Especially if they don't have their picture on a
right.
on their business card, and it can be you, people can kind of get mixed up in your mind.
Right.
And one thing, as much networking as I do, I have started writing down where I met them. Because a lot of days I attend multiple networking events in a day. I might hit a breakfast, a lunch, and a, you know, after-hours event. So I try to write down – do my best to remember to write down where I met them so that yeah. I can reference that. Because they're out networking, too. They may not remember either where we met. So
yeah, or you can do it in your car.
Like
I've actually gone to the car when I had something extensive
yeah. uh-huh.
that I learned about somebody. It was really
yes.
a good opportunity, I
yep.
felt. And
mm-hmm.
I make myself a note on my phone or
yes.
a pad
yeah.
or whatever.
Voice memo on your phone, whatever system works for you, but that helps you remember.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think that's important to
yes.
record it as soon as it's practical.
Yes.
Very interesting.
Uh-huh.
Well, how about another characteristic that you
Last
recommend?
Last thing, you know, I kind of mentioned a little bit before is following up. So if you're a good networker, you're always going to follow up with the people that you have connected, that you've made a connection. And, you know, following up is just, it's a simple thing. We make such a big deal out of it and we make it seem like such a task. And really all it is just, you know, saying, hey, Rick, it was great to meet you. I'm going to email you in the next couple of days and let's get together for coffee or lunch. And then it's just follow up. It's just you doing what you said you were going to do. And it doesn't have to be really long and involved. It could be an email. It can be a text message. I have gotten to where I ask people a lot because I find less and less people are reading their emails.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree?
Absolutely.
Okay. So
unfortunately.
Yes. So normally I'll ask them, what is the best way to communicate with you? Do you prefer a text, an email, a phone call, a voicemail? You know, what would you prefer? And when you follow up, use that mode. Whatever they have said is the best way to communicate with them, use that. So if they say it's a text message, it's a quick text, you know, and just, hey, Rick, it was great to meet you at the Chamber of Commerce event last Tuesday night. Really enjoyed talking with you. I hope your presentation went well that we discussed. I'd love to hear all about it over coffee or lunch. Give me a couple of times next week that would be good for you to get together. That's all you have to say. You know, that's it. But following up, and it's very important that you do what you say you're going to do. So whatever it is that you've told this person you will do, whether it's make an introduction for them, you're going to follow up to set up a time for you to meet together one-on-one. Maybe you've promised them some information, a great website that would be helpful to them, or a book that they should read, or, you know, hey, I'm going to send you the Amazon link so you can download this book and order it. But just be sure that you do what you say you're going to do and do it within the time frame that you have promised.
You know, that's something that even I've slipped on that is if I have a networking event and if I have time that night, because I tend to work at night more than I used to
uh-huh.
do it that night. But if not, it's on my things to do. I have a things to do list
mm-hmm.
every day. Prioritize three things on the list today.
Right.
It's got 11 things on it.
Yeah.
But I have three priorities. And one of those priorities, which are the ones I try to get done first
right.
before I move on, sometimes they're difficult things, and that's why they're a priority to get it mm-hmm. done and out of the way, but is always going to be respond.
Yes.
Respond, respond,
yes.
respond.
Yes. yes.
and get it done. So by the next morning, mm-hmm. hopefully you've heard from me if you read your emails.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Right? But no, I think you have to have a little system if you're going to continually do this and go. I mean, I go to one or two, maybe three events a week, not like you, and I can imagine. But yeah, you got to set aside some time.
Right.
Point.
You do. You do. And, you know, a lot of times it's nice. You may not have promised anything, but just a quick text message that says, I really enjoyed visiting with you yesterday at the networking lunch, and I hope that we run into each other again soon. You know, just anything like that that just says, hey, I remember you. I enjoyed meeting you. I wish you well. Those are just nice things. I know the last few weeks I try to do that after every appointment that I have for the most part. But I know the last couple of weeks I've received three of those messages myself before I could send them of, hey, Stacey, I really enjoyed talking with you. Thank you so much for your time. And that really stood out to me, you know, and I said, okay, huh, these are people I want to be in my group.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely. No, there are people you want to have in the sphere of what you do.
Yes, exactly.
Because they're going to do something. They're
because if they've done that for me, they're going to do that to somebody that I send to them that's going to be a client if I refer somebody to them.
You know, and that's something, it's not on the subject, but it is on the follow-up thing, is that when I refer you to somebody, I want to make sure that they hopefully have these characteristics.
Yes.
In a sense that you're not networking, but I'm connecting you because it reflects on you.
It does.
So, I mean, it's off the topic that we're on networking, but that referral, and like you say, there were last week several people, it was important they responded to you, and now you're more likely
to invite them to be a part of NIA.
Whatever it is, put them on the team, so to speak, because I consider my referral sources as a team and try to feed that team and keep them connected.
Very much so.
That's interesting. Well, today, the big picture of networking, how to help others win, that's a question that you posed or a statement.
Yes.
Let's talk about that to kind of wind things down today.
You know, I think so often people look at networking as a chore, and it is a part of business. It is work. It is work. And it is a part of, if it is a part of your marketing plan, it is something that you're going to have to make time for and invest in and things like that. But I think that sometimes people discount the impact that we really have on each other when we do get to know each other and can support each other and make referrals to one another, and the importance of a referral and how that really can change things. I was talking to one of my members a couple of weeks ago on the phone, and he was saying, you know, business is a little bit down. And I said, you know, I get that. And then before I could say it, he said, but you know, Stacey, it could all turn around with one phone call. And I said, that's exactly right. That's it. It can all turn around with one phone call. And so I really try to encourage my members, and when I talk to people about networking, to look at the big picture of what we're really doing. If we are good networkers, we're supporting each other, we're building relationships, and we're sending business to each other. When I send a referral to one of my members, I'm not just introducing them to someone, but if that someone becomes a client or another referral partner, I am helping them to feed their family, to send their kids to college, to build their dream house, to take their bucket list vacation, you know, and in the big picture, we're helping build our community of business owners. And so if you can look at it like that, I think it takes on a whole different perspective, because really, I think at the core of all of us, we know that we've been put here on earth to serve and to help other people. And we are the happiest, and we find the most joy, and we're the most gratified when we know that we're helping somebody else succeed. And if we can live our lives in a way that we're helping other people win, we will never be short of anything. We will have abundance in all things. And I truly believe that. And so if we can really look at this as it's not just a referral. It's not just an introduction, but I'm really helping somebody increase their business, make their lives better. Like I said, feed their families, send the kids to school. That's a big deal. That's a really big deal.
Mm-hmm. And like you say, that's an overall attitude that I have to approach all of this with. And if I do, it becomes a lot easier, too.
Yes, it does.
That nervousness or
it's
that concern
not a task
that I feel
anymore.
Can kind of walk away and not be that important to us. So
yeah.
I agree with your thought, your philosophy 100% personally. And I think every person that goes into this, it's not just business.
Right.
But our businesses are there. And I approach my practice and with my clients, because every one of my small businesses has family in there somewhere.
That's right. That's
it could be a spouse. It could be children. It could be a mom, a dad. We're all connected
some way.
And one of the things I do is encourage people, when you make a major decision in your business, consider that family. So to me, this is just a corollary of that.
It is.
As I'm building a business, I help someone build their business. Mm-hmm. So I'm helping their family.
Yes.
And they and their family are successful. Mm-hmm. My family, right?
Yeah.
And I will be successful.
Exactly.
I agree.
And if you're supporting a business that has employees, you're not only supporting that business owner, but you're helping that business owner support his employees and continue to pay his or her employees so that they can take care of their families as well. So it's, you know, we have such an amazing community here. We really do. And I want to preserve and build on that even more. I mean, that's really my vision for Network in Action, is that we leave behind a great legacy of business owners for the next generation too.
Well, and I think we've all picked, I had this conversation with several people, believe it or not, last week about what a great community Montgomery County would say.
Absolutely.
With the Woodlands, Conroe, Magnolia, Montgomery, the city of Montgomery. I mean, it goes on and on. And the opportunities for everyone to do well here, whatever you've chosen to do, great place to raise families. But as we come to the end of today, I want to mention one thing. One thing about networking, folks, if you're listening, is you've got to figure out a way to make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, business to me has to be fun. That's one of my three key ingredients to being successful. And so if you haven't networked or you sort of do it, you got that reluctance, the thing, Stacey, you've talked about, right?
Mm-hmm.
I just don't want to do it. But we need to network.
Yes.
In most every business, we need some kind of relationship to increase our business. It's got to be fun.
It does.
Make it fun.
Make it fun. Make a game out of it. Make a challenge out of it. You know, I'm going to leave here with five business cards of great possible clients or prospects for me or somebody that I can help, and just, make it a game.
Yeah, let's do it.
It doesn't have to be a choice.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're to the end of today's program. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's the first in a series of three. Stacey's going to be back with us next week. We'll continue the conversation about everything networking. Mm-hmm. Stacey, in the meantime, if folks want to reach out to you with a question or talk to you about NIA or anything networking, what's the best way for them to get in touch?
Best way for them to get in touch with me is either my email. I do still read my emails. It's Stacey, S-T-A-C-Y, at networkinaction.com. You can also go to NIA The Woodlands is our Facebook page, and you can send me a private message via that as well.
Well, that's great, and thank you, and we look forward to having you next week.
Thank you.
And ladies and gentlemen, I hope you'll stick around for the second half of the day show. I've got a great businessman on the street interview I think you'll really enjoy and get a lot out of. Richard Vector, he's the Senior Vice President of Green Bank in The Woodlands. He's a panelist on an upcoming Small Business University program that's sponsored by the Woodlands Chamber of Commerce entitled How to Secure Financing for Your Small Business. So he's going to talk to us about some of the main things you need to look at, financing, and talk about that upcoming program. So please stick around. And, of course, I'll finish out today's program. One best consult tip of the week: how high is your overhead? Now, this may not be what you expect when we talk about overhead, so stick around. You'll learn more. Well, we're going to take that break now. Please stay with us. Come back, and we'll continue the show in just a few minutes.
Business ideas and news you can use, join us on the Weekly Business Hour every Monday at 11 a.m. on Lone Star Community Radio.
Don't miss Lone Star Community Radio on TV and YouTube. Our talk show and music shows are featured
5 and 106.1 FM in the Conroe area. Also, anytime at irlonestar.com. You go to irlonestar.com/TTS. You can find all of our social media.
And don't forget, we give away 2 tickets to the Grand Theater on every show.
If you like movies and you like complaining or celebrating, anything has to do with the silver screen, check out the Ticket Stub podcast and join us every Thursday at noon o'clock on Lone Star Community Radio.
Are you interested in learning more about preparing quick, healthy, and safe meals for your family? Would you like to spend time with others learning tips and tricks, along with practicing and tasting nutritious food? If so, the On the Road to Healthy Living Mobile Cooking School is for you. Call Amy Ressler at Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service at 936-539-7825 to find a class near you or volunteer to host a class.
A Lone Star Community Radio is ready for the summer. If you or anyone you know is looking for summer internship opportunities, A Lone Star Community Radio is a great place to grab the mic and be on the air. A Lone Star Community Radio offers a great opportunity to those interested in learning about the radio world all year round. Be an on-air personality, talk show producer, or YouTube, TV, podcast editor. Contact the station at info@irlonestar.com or call the station's message line at 936-647-3776.
What can the Better Living for Texans program do for you? You can learn how to increase your consumption of fruits and vegetables, choose foods that are relatively inexpensive and good to eat, make your food dollars last longer, prepare quick, nutritious meals, help your children learn how to eat healthier snacks, and much more. Our program is committed to helping people like you improve your health through providing research-based nutrition education in a friendly, cost-free, and relaxed environment. We are Texas A&M AgriLife Extension, helping Texans make their lives better.
For those of you who like your partners, your gumbo, and your music salty, well, we're here to help with the music. Julian Shea here, host of Lone Star Country Nights Thursday, your weekly dose of roots and Americana and all the music that makes this part of the country special. We stir in Western swing, honky-tonk, Zydeco, Texas blues, outlaw country, and put a pinch of red dirt, and then we smoke it over a slow fire. Then listen to the results Thursday nights on Conroe's 104.5 and 106.1 and worldwide at IRLoneStar.com.
It's all business talk on the weekly business hour every Monday at 11 a.m. right here on Lone Star Community Radio.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Rick Schisler, your Silver Fox advisor and the founder of One Best Consultant. You're listening to the weekly business hour. And as I promised before we went to break, I have a wonderful interview. I hope you'll listen to it. Interviewed with Richard Vector. Richard's a senior vice president with Green Bank, and I want to share with you that interview. He is a panelist on an upcoming small business university program sponsored by the Woodlands Chamber of Commerce entitled How to Secure Financing for Your Small Business. So take a listen, and I'll be back with you live after the interview. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm back on the street, businessman on the street, and I'm here today at Green Bank, soon to be Veritex Bank.
Yes, sir.
And I'm visiting with Richard Vector, who's a senior vice president here. Richard, how are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Well, I'm doing well, and I appreciate you taking time to talk to us about a special event that's coming up soon at the Woodlands Chamber. But before we get started, talk a little bit about yourself and the bank and what Green Bank's all about.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Thanks, Rick. So I've been with Green Bank for about 8 years. It'll be 8 years in May, so that's fast approaching. I've been in banking altogether for 15 years. Started my career on the retail side. My current boss, Paco Rivera, I worked with him for a large retail bank about 10, 11 years ago. After he came to Green Bank, he remembered us having a conversation where I'd always wanted to kind of come over to the community banking side and see what that was like, and I took him up on that opportunity about 8 years ago, and been here ever since, and it was one of the best decisions I've ever made in my career. So,
well, that's fantastic, and as I mentioned earlier, the bank is changing names, not
that's
only
correct.
Changing names, but being acquired, and soon will be Veritex Bank. You've
that
been
is
acquired
correct.
By a larger banking group?
Actually, we were the larger bank
okay.
in the transaction. It's definitely pretty close to what I would say is a merger of equals. For various reasons, we decided to do the merger in the opposite direction that it typically goes. Even though they're the smaller bank, they are acquiring us. They're based out of Dallas. They have a very strong presence in the DFW market. We're looking to complement that with our significant Houston presence.
Right.
And we were actually looking to expand in the DFW market as well. So it really was just kind of a match made in heaven, so to speak.
Yeah, we well, that really sounds wonderful.
Yep.
But most importantly, we've got a real special event coming up here at the Woodlands Chamber in Montgomery County here,
mm-hmm.
Coming up about financing small business. Why don't you give us a little bit of the detail on that, and then we'll
yeah.
talk a little bit about some of the content that will be in that program.
Yeah, it's going to be April 4th from 9 to 11, and the topic considers securing financing for your small business. And so we'll have a panel consisting of myself and some other bankers, and we'll just be there ready to answer questions. From a variety of topics pertaining to obtaining credit for your business, whether you're a startup, whether you're an existing business that's just looking to obtain some kind of financing for the first time, we'll be there to answer those questions.
Well, you know, in my consulting practice, One Best Consultant is a Silver Fox advisor. Financing is one of the keystones, really, of getting a business off the ground and, and developing it. What kind of loans can a small business, not necessarily a startup, but a small business going out for the first time to borrow money, what kind of loans are available to them?
Yeah, there's a pretty wide variety, you know, kind of just depending on what you're looking to do, what your objectives are. You can finance inventory, you can finance accounts receivable, you can finance equipment, you can finance real estate. If your business is growing, you're taking on new and large contracts, but you know there's usually some cash flow tightness in that growth stage that you need to overcome, and so a bank can be a great partner to help you kind of fund that expansion and fund those growth opportunities. Oftentimes you need to additional capital to buy equipment, to hire additional people, maybe expand your facility. Lots of different reasons why in a growth scenario you would need to obtain financing. And banks and other lenders have lots of financial products to help with those various situations.
Well, let me ask this question. I'm a small bank and really don't have much familiarity, not a small bank, but a small business, excuse me. And I've not been in the market before to borrow money. What are some of the keys to being successful to go out when I prepare myself, go out and look for a bank to become my partner, if you will, in my business? What are some of those keys that are important?
That's a great question. I'd say number one, make sure your finances are in order. You know, be able to present a good, sophisticated financial package to a prospective lender that you're interested in borrowing money from. Regardless of whether that's a bank, whether it's an angel investor, an equity partner, have your finances in order. I strongly recommend to my customers, if you don't have a CPA, get one. And I'd even go a step further. If you don't have, a lot of small businesses don't need necessarily a full-time CFO, at least have a part-time CFO. You know, somebody maybe you can outsource that piece to, and they can really make you look good to a prospective lender. So have your finances in order, number one. Number two, know what you need to use the money for. Be ready to tell the story about, okay, here's how much I need, and here's what I plan to use it for. If that's a great place to start. If you have both of those things, if you have good financials in order, and you know what you're going after, that's going to put you in a good position.
Well, you know, one of the things I've learned being a Silver Fox advisor for the last 15 years is we actually have some of the Foxes, particularly a man, Dick Hindy, who was a senior management person in a number of banking groups, and he specializes in coming in and helping small businesses prepare themselves, put the package together, and has a really high success rate. Plus, he guides them to the banks that are, you know, prefer those kinds of loans, whatever it is they're looking for.
Right.
So what you're saying is the part-time CFO resonates with me. You need some help on this. It's an important issue in the life of a company. And I would recommend, see if you agree, that you don't go alone.
Absolutely.
Don't go at it alone. Get some outside help.
I wholeheartedly agree with that. It's worth every penny. The outsourced CFO, they work with a lot of banks. They know what banks look for. They know what banks like. And they can really make you look good to a bank. So I couldn't agree with you more.
It makes a lot of sense to me. Let me ask you one of the things that comes up from time to time. And I'm a person about relationships, whether it be personal relationships, so that when I need help personally or in business particularly, and we just talked about that relationship with a bank. A lot of times I find small business people reluctant to really spend any time, or they really don't know how to do what they need to do to build a relationship with a bank, so that when you need to ask for a loan or you want to ask, get that expansion, whatever,
right.
What do you advise people to do? I'm a small business guy. I know a banker, or I think I might. I mean, where do I start to build a relationship with a banker?
Sure, that's a great question. You know, you really want to find a bank or a banker that you can develop a relationship with. And that's going to be one they need to be someone that's going to be of that mindset and want to take that approach. So, and if you don't know, talk to the existing group of professionals that you as a small business have surrounded yourself with. So your attorney, your CPA, if you have an outsourced CFO you're already working with, work with them. And they should be able to point you in that direction. But yeah, you absolutely need to find a bank or a banker that you that is interested in not just helping you with the initial transaction, but is interested in following up with you on a regular basis, continuing to educate themselves about your business, about the challenges and the opportunities that you're faced with, and can then proactively react to any of those changes because, you know, the only constant is change, right? And so you need somebody who's going to be there with you that you can pick up the phone and call, and you know you're going to be able to get in touch with them every time. They're going to be accessible to you. And whenever you need something new, you're not going to have to reinvent the wheel, so to speak, and start over from scratch trying to educate someone from soup to nuts on who you are. If you have a banker that you have a relationship with, they already know who you are. They already know about your business, and they can react much better in those types of situations when you do need something. So a relationship is absolutely crucial. And so I would always advise a small business, whether you think you're going to need to borrow money in the next year or two or not, develop a relationship with a banker now.
Well, and it's one of the things, too, I always carry it even a little step further, mm-hmm. is I look at a banker or a lender as a part of my trusted advisor group.
Absolutely.
The attorney, the CPA, mm-hmm. so on and so forth.
Yep.
And because I can go to them if I have that great relationship and talk to them about my financing, not necessarily mm-hmm. trying to borrow money,
yeah.
but how I'm doing.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, a good banker will always take take you up on the opportunity to advise you. You know, even if it's not necessarily making you a loan or getting any business from themselves. Treat them as you just said, as someone that can be an advisor and that can help point you in the right direction.
Well, I think you've drawn a great profile of the kind of banker we need to look for. Let's talk just for a moment about the Small Business Administration. Mm-hmm. I know that's one of the topics that's coming up most likely in the mm-hmm. in the workshop or the presentation next week.
Sure.
Will be a small business they have preferred and lenders and others mm-hmm. that are not necessarily preferred, but what does that really mean to me as a businessman?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when you have obtained preferred status with the SBA, that essentially means that, you know, the SBA, you've demonstrated an aptitude for understanding on the front end what the SBA wants to evaluate a transaction, and that you're also able to do the proper follow-up and documentation on the back end. You're documenting that file properly. You know, there's a lot of upfront paperwork that goes into an SBA loan, and so you've demonstrated that. And so, what essentially that allows you as an SBA preferred lender to do is just streamline the transaction process. It's a streamlined approval process, and so the bottom line is the real difference is speed. You can get that transaction done more quickly as a preferred lender.
Well, and obviously speed to get it done and out, because the small business, I'm typically wearing many hats. If I own the business, I'm running the business, and doing the loan is kind of an unusual thing, and it can be a little bit challenging to get through that process.
Yeah, absolutely.
One final question I have, and this is one that's, it's one of those, I call them proverbial questions, but I'm starting a business.
Mm-hmm.
Can I borrow money?
Yeah.
Right?
That is a great question. And the question is, it depends. In some cases, you can. Typically, if you're approaching a bank as a startup business, a bank is going to typically direct you into the SBA process that they have. You know, the SBA is a great tool for lending to startup businesses, and so that's typically going to be the process. Not to say there aren't situations in which a bank would not do conventional financing for a startup business, because there are situations in which that would happen. That's kind of what it would look like as a bank. You know, there are other options outside of banking for a startup business, be it you know, angel or private investors, you know, and that can run the gamut in terms of how much it's going to cost, how much they'll lend, how much ownership they might require, you know, so there is a sacrifice that you have to give up in exchange for that, but those options are out there as well. So, you know, if you're starting up a business, but you or a spouse has outside income that's going to continue during that startup phase, that's another mitigating factor that might open up some additional opportunities So those are kind of just a few things to think through on that, but it is possible. And I would not deter someone from knocking on doors and just asking that question. If they are in a startup phase and they need funding, it's most likely out there. It just may look a little bit different depending on what their situation is.
Well, it's good to hear that there is a banking possibility if we want to continue with that.
Yeah.
Well, I deeply appreciate, again, you taking time to join us today. It sounds like you guys have got a great panel. I've looked at the folks that are on the panel. And let's kind of go back through that information. Woodland Chamber sponsoring, what's the date and time and place?
Yeah, it's going to be April 4th at Small Business University, and it will be at the Woodlands Chamber, and it will be from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m.
And if you want more information about it, you simply go to the website of woodlandschamber.org. The information's there, and I encourage
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed that interview. We just got a minute or two left. I think there's a great bit of information. I encourage you to consider, if you're in the Montgomery County area, attending that seminar. I think it's great. Overhead's a big thing with every business. I've posted a full blog on my website at onebestconsult.com. That's the number, onebestconsult.com. I encourage you to check it out. Look for a podcast of today's show on the Weekly Business Hour page at IRLoneStar.com, on Facebook, and also YouTube. Check it out, pass it on, share it. I would appreciate it. And until next week, I encourage you, do what I do every week. Stay engaged throughout the week in your business and activities, and stay focused on what counts in your business. Thank you.
Thanks for checking out this show on Lone Star Community Radio, Montgomery County's community radio station. This show is owned and produced by Lone Star Community Radio and recorded live from the LSCR studios in downtown Conroe, Texas. For more information about the show, to be a guest, or to sponsor, just contact the studio at 936-647-3776 to leave a message, or email us at lscrstudios@gmail.com.